Les séminaires du Collège de France.
Once again, just to maybe summarize, you start from your twisted MOT to you have a moiré, you have your DFT calculation from which you can, you know, extract parameters, and you have the continuum model. The continuum model, you can compute a Chern number, you have a Chern number one. So to some extent, it's really like the Landau levels. And its interactions are strong enough compared to the dispersion here, we should get a fractional state. And that's basically why, you know, you have FCIs in twisted MOT too. This is a summary of all the experimental results when it comes to all the fractions that have been observed, all the phases that have been observed in twisted MOT too as a function of the filling factor. So once again, minus sign is just because you're dealing with the valence band as a function of the twist angle. You have, of course, a very robust quantum anomalous state, so a Chern oscillator. And you have a very nice FCI, the strongest one is at minus two-thirds. And if you use, you know, the proper calculations, numerical calculations, first to extract the parameters, and then to really take into account effect like band mixing and so on, you can try to reproduce this phase diagram for the different filling factors as a function of twist angle and see in which case your model predicts an FCI or not. Something very funny is there is a strong asymmetry between, in most of these systems, between minus two-thirds and one-third. So it's very rare to find an FCI at minus one-third. Whereas if you have, remember maybe the picture that Antoine flashed about the fractional quantum model effect, you have like a particle symmetry within a Landau level. So if you have a fraction at one-third, you expect to have a fraction at two-thirds. If you have a fraction at two-fifths, you expect to have one at three-fifths. This system doesn't have the particle hole symmetry. So that's one, for example, one of the big difference with a typical Landau level. Let's talk about other differences. There are, you know, for example, now we are at the stage where experimentally you can extract the gap, the transport gap, for these fractional phases, like people have done for fractional quantum effect. And the gap structure is a bit more complex. Basically, if you look, you know, what you expect if you have only the fractional quantum mole state, like one-third, you expect the notional resistance not to be strictly zero, but actually to decrease exponentially, it's an Arrhenius law, with the temperature. And when you do that for an FCI, you actually find two gaps. And you can basically tune these two gaps by changing by adding some additional magnetic field. And you can reproduce some of these results, with using numerical simulations. So, and you know, another property which is different from Landau level, as I hinted previously, the topological degeneracy is exact in when you work in a Landau level because you have extra symmetries. These symmetries will imply, for example, that your anions don't have a dispersion. They are dispersionless. But it's not something that emerge from the fractional charges or fractional statistics. It depends on the microscopic details. As soon as you move away from a Landau level, this will break down, and your anions, so here, think carefully, that's for the quasi-electron and the quasi-hole, and you see that they have a dispersion with some nice symmetry properties and that you can explain that also related to the fractional statistics and the fractional charges, but let's talk about that later. You can look also at the spin, the magnetic properties. So one thing I didn't mention, or I was, you know, talking about that when we discussed the first observation of a Chern oscillator back in 2013, these are magnetic materials. So what you do usually is you apply very small, it's a ferromagnet. So what you do is you apply a small field to tilt your, you know, to favor one direction or the other. But the spin structure is quite different from a fractional quantum Mole effect. Usually fractional quantum Mole effect, the main description, we forget about the spin degree of freedom. But you think of nu equal to one, you have a spin, and there is a very nice physics emerging there because, you know, you have SU2 symmetry, you can talk about skirmion and so on. Here you don't have SU2 symmetry. As I said, K and K prime lock the spin. So Valet K, you have one type of fermions in the moiré with the spin up, the other one with the spin down, but you only have a U1 symmetry. You don't have the full SU2. So you have Ising magnetism compared to Heisenberg. And you can look, for example, excitations. They will be gapped. You can look, you build magnon state. You can do that for the integer case. And you can do that for the fractional case. So that's yet another difference between Lando level and these Chia insulators. At this stage, we have a complete family picture, right? Starting from 80, the quantum Hall effect, the integer case, 82, the fractional case. So you will see, you know, there's a question of terminology, whether you call it anomalous quantum Hall effect or Chia insulator. Choose your region, it's not my problem. 2013, the first observation of the quantum anomalous Hall effect, and like 10 years later, the fractional one in Moiré system. Since 2023, we had a bunch of papers, so people have explored a lot in the system, see the difference between, you know, these FCIs and the fractional quantum Hall state. So which raises some questions, like, you know, what are the future directions for MOT2? Or for these twisted TMDs. It's really going beyond Lando level physics. Remember, we don't have a magnetic field. So one cool stuff is we can have, you know, superconductivity and your fractional state. So technically, to be honest, fractional quantum effect, you can have superconducting contacts. I think niobium is one of the superconductors that has a very high critical field. So, but they are very dirty in terms of contact. So now you can do really cleaner stuff to put in contact these two systems. And there's lots of interesting physics that could potentially emerge at the boundary between a superconductor and a fractional phase. And it's not science fiction. So that's the group of Sengfeng Wu in Princeton. He has already realized some of these interfaces between twisted MOT2 and a superconductor. And actually, you don't even need to have, you know, to add a superconductor by hand. There are some recent results from the group of Tingxing Li in Shanghai, where if you look at the resistance, let me check, I think that's the Hall resistance in red, and the notional resistance in black. And there is a region which is quite in the vicinity of, so that's the filling factor 2/3 here. In the vicinity, you have both a vanishing of the notional resistance and the Hall resistance. So it's not a direct, you know, it's not a strong evidence. You cannot claim technically that superconductivity because there are cases where you can have similar signature, but it's a first indication that there might be some. And there's lots of interesting questions because what is the nature of the superconductivity? So if you look, there are proposals in theoretical proposals that say, well, since my anions now have dispersion, but also have residual interactions, I can play the same game. It's just I can have like superconductivity from anions. It's actually not a very new story. It was proposed by Laughlin like decades ago, but it has a new interest potential in this system. Another phase that you would like to realize is fractional topological insulators. So a fractionalization, but without breaking the time reversal symmetry. No, chain insulators break time reversal symmetry. You would like to get the same kind of physics without breaking it. Right. So it was predicted like the early 2010 also. There are still no strong experimental signatures, but there are some interesting features at -4/3 that might hint toward this phase. And the reason people are really excited is because if you combine superconductivity and these fractional topological insulators, you have generalization of the Majorana's. So, you know, Majorana has been elusive for a very long time. So you can double down and get something even more exotic by combining them. Okay. But for now, what I did was to say, I have a band with a non-zero Chern number that looks like a Lando level. It has a gap. It's almost flat. And I get something fractional. But that's not the end of the story. So like 3 months after the MOT2 paper, there was another system that was exhibiting fractional chain insulators, and it's rhomboid graphene. And it's really hell when it comes to the theory. And I will show you why. But from the experimental point of view, it's a very clean system. They seem like, large number of fractions for the first few samples. So rhomboid shore graphene, it's like several stack of graphene where you have the Bernard stacking, so A on top of B and so on. And you have two HBN substrates. And what you do is to align one of, let's say the bottom of your, what you see here in this picture is the top. Later we use the bottom, sorry for that. You slightly align the HBN and you rotate it. So you induce basically a moiré from the HBN and the top layer of this rhomboid shore graphene, not the bottom one. And if you do that, you will also observe in these transport measurements signature of fractional transuators. It's been done in pentalayer graphene, so five layers, but also in six layers, same physics. I'm not sure if there's for four, there might be some, but people have never seen anything for three and two layers. So as I said, you need some moiré that comes from the boron nitride substrate. And here it's a picture of the Brillat zone. So you don't have the same lattice constant for a boron nitride and for the graphene. So not only you have a mismatch of the two Brillat zones, but on top of that, you rotate them, but you still generate this very nice moiré pattern. Typical angle is around 0.7 degrees. I mentioned previously that you have an extra knob. So not only when you have your two gates, you control the density, so you control the doping in your sample, but you can also apply an additional electric field. So you can, for example, push the electron to the top or the bottom of your system, depending on the sign of your displacement field. And if you can do like a simple model for this structure here, including with the boron nitride substrate, and you will get a bent structure like this one. Basically, the gap here is controlled by the displacement field. And if you look at the conduction electrons, you do have a flat band, but there is no gap. And actually, it's worse than that. It's not a churn band one. So it's definitely not like an endo level. So, first question, where are the electrons? So that's why I said that I flipped the moiré is at the bottom, and I have my displacement field. So depending on the side of the displacement field and whether I look at electrons or hole doping, in one region, I have fractional states. It's called the moiré distance. So the actual electrons that you contribute to the transport are here, far from the moiré. And still, you obtain fractional states. You can look at the other situations. There are potentially also fractional state appearing in, I think that's the moiré proximal case. So this one. Yep. So where are the electrons? Far from the moiré. So next question is, what does the moiré actually do in your problem? It's actually tightly related to the way you think about the interaction between the electrons in the system and how you deal with it in practically as a theorist. You can think about what you do when you have a semiconductor, if you have a large gap. Let's say you look at the conduction electrons, and usually if you have a large gap, you say, well, I don't care about the valence band, right? Of course, this is not the same statement if you have like Dirac electrons, because there is no gap. So you have to properly take into account the effect of the field valence band. And the question here is basically what is the strength of the interaction compared to the gap that you have in your system. If you're in a regime where you really forget what's going on about the valence band, then the moiré doesn't play any role. Remember, the moiré is from the electrons that are far away from the HBN substrate that is aligned with your rhomboid shore graphene. So it should be like you need a mechanism that will spontaneously break the translation symmetry to give you some moiré. And that's the whole business of the animals, whole crystal that was developed in the Flat Iron or in the Boston area. The other approach is, no, we cannot neglect the electrons that are here. And basically, if you do like some kind of Hartree-Fock treatment, if you look especially at the density profile of the field balance band, because they are, especially these states here, are very close to the moiré, they have the imprint of the moiré potential. So you can try to do some simple Hartree-Fock calculation in these two kind of regimes. Both cases, depending on the parameters, will turn this gapless conduction bands into a very nice gapped one with a churn number one. And you can say, well, I got this from Hartree-Fock, but still I can forget about this band and start thinking about doing fractionally filling them, doing some ED calculation, and whatever you do, basically, for the filling factor one third or two third, irrespective of the number of particles, you have very nice FCI in numerics. Problem is, one third is not observing in experiments. And maybe I should point out that as soon as you start moving away from this picture here, like for actually including all the bands, everything breaks loose. You don't get any FCI. So we were a bit stuck as a community to explain exactly what's going on. And I will try to, once again, let's go back to the experimental results, and especially the new ones. So the question is the moiré crucial? Is it spontaneous symmetry breaking? It should not matter much. I think now from the experiments, we are exactly convinced of the opposite. Moiré is crucial for all these phases. So this is some result from the group of Xiaobo Lu in Beijing, at Beijing University, where basically he was able to change the twist angle, and you can see a very strong effect. I mean, you have not even a fractional one, just chance relator, will appear or not depending on the twist angle. And clearly, as soon as you have a trivial phase, there is no FCI. So if your twist angle gives you a trivial phase at interfeeding, there is no FCI. If you have one, then potentially at two-thirds you get some state. And once again, if you take this model and you use Hartree-Fock to try to describe the experimental result, it fails miserably. If you do something a bit more careful, you actually have something that is more in line with the experiment. So that's one example where the Hartree-Fock actually fails. So that's one, thrust of evidence of the importance of moiré. You can also think about the more recent experiment of the group of Longzhu at MIT. So here's the one I did, the first experiment of robot geography in showing that you have fractional chance relators. If you have moiré, you have anomalous cohomology effect, you have fractional chance relators. If you don't align, you have superconductivity. Different physics depending on not if you the moiré is there. So with this, I think it's pretty convincing that the moiré is crucial. So one thing that we did was to try to model it a bit more properly. So without entering too much into the details, the actual full Hamiltonian for the model is quite nasty. So you have lots of terms, the rhomboid geographine, the coupling with the boron nitride substrate, the potential created by the displacement field, and of course, in the interaction that you handle by also taking into account the effect of the field balance band. And you can simplify it by having some effective non-interacting Hamiltonian that basically include the effect of this, what we call the moiré capacitor, because basically the field band acts like, give you electrostatically the moiré on the conduction band, even though the conduction bands are far away from the actual physical moiré. And you have your interaction properly normal ordered, so and you can do your calculation. It was kind of a bit of epic battle in terms of numerics, because you want to show that if you include all the bands and you do a calculation properly, that you try to treat more precisely the effect of the field balance band, you do get an FCI. Forget about all the glory details of these plots. Just tell you how we do some, we handle the actual Hilbert space. But the plot that is important is here. It's the gap as a function of the truncation parameters to allow us to do the calculation. And whatever we do, we have a gap, which is finite, on top of a fractional state. And the very funny stuff is, if you look at the nature of this fractional charge insulators, it has, of course, the same universal properties. Fractional charges, the charge E over 3, or 2 over 3, depending on the Fink factor. You have fractional statistics. But it's not made out of one band. It's, you can look, for example, at the density as a function of k for your ground state. And so the blue, red, and green, it's just the occupation of the remote band. And you see that you have quite a substantial occupation of the remote band. And it's not a matter of choosing like a basis. If you, whatever basis you choose, you always have some mixing. And it's actually even more funny than that. If you take your system, but you don't include the band mixing, what you get is a Charlotte wave. So you get the wrong physics. So once again, that's something that is a clear departure from the, you know, the cartoon picture I was showing at the very beginning of feel a churn band that you fractionally feel with interaction. All right, so I think I'm on time. I would like to thank many people that I've, you know, I've worked with on this topic over the last few years. And especially the, well, some not young anymore, Yves Kwan and Jabin Yu, that are now faculties in the US, but also Jonah Herzog-Arbeitmann, that just graduated from Princeton, H.U. Lee, he was a postdoc with us, and Andreas Feuerpfeil, and lots of people that you can find here. And as a conclusion, it's really an exciting time for all this physics. Remember, like 10 years ago, it was just a theoretical prediction or nice toy models in a computer. Now, thanks to the advance of Moiré, this is actually something that you measure in experiments. And as usual, the experiments are a bit more interesting than the toy models. The physics is a bit more complex. We have more things to understand. And I've shown you, you know, the case of twist MO2, that is the nicest case, but they are not all like this. And even like, you know, the details do matter. Like the nature, the excitation, the magnetic excitations, the possibility of superconductivity in the system. This is a stuff that's still to explore and understand. So I hope that will motivate the young people to have a look. And maybe if you're interested, you have to do the homework and we can talk about it. Thank you.
Collège de France, le savoir en illimité. Retrouvez tous nos contenus audio et vidéo sur notre site collège-de-france.fr, les plateformes de podcast et nos chaînes YouTube.